I'd say 80% of people that were in the shoe business, they have by far left.
He's a husband, a father, owner of Sneaker City.
Kated Jordans, Yeezys, Nike Dunks.
Steve, if you had one thing you could tell someone in your shoes, let's say 5 years ago, kind of got the entrepreneurial mindset and into business, whether it's shoes or anything else, well, what's like one piece of advice you would give those people?
Might be a little bit of a hot take, but in my opinion, I would say do not.
Thanks for tuning in. This is Gunner with Realty Growth here with my friend Steven Olander.
What's going on?
He's a husband, a father, owner of Sneaker City, and many other things. And so, yeah, excited to have you here to just kind of chat about you and your life and kind of how, you know, from a business standpoint, kind of how you got to where you are, as well as personal and everything else. So
right on.
I just kind of want to figure out who you are and what you're all about.
Cool.
So thanks for being here,
bro. Yeah, happy to be here.
Yeah, 100%. Awesome. Well, I think to start things off, just maybe why don't you just kind of introduce yourself as far as, you know, your background, where you came from, and then kind of maybe a quick story as to what led into where you are today. I know we'll dig in a little deeper on some of the details on things, but yeah, just kind of introduce yourself and let us know who we're dealing with here.
Yeah. So my name's Steve Olander, born and raised in Rochester, Minnesota. I went to high school at Century, played basketball there for 5 years. I got bumped up as an eighth grader to play the sophomore team and then kind of varsity from then on. And that's kind of how I grew a little bit of a following. I started work at Scheels as a senior, and I was a shoe salesman. And a lot of people would ask me, you know, where are the high-end Jordans? Yeah. Where are the Yeezys? Where's the Kobe's at?
And where's the real stuff?
Exactly. Where's the good stuff?
Yeah, where's the good stuff?
Is it hiding in the back? You know, what's going on? So it's interesting what Scheels does is they put you through a very intense sales training course. And what they tell us to do is if we don't have the product you're looking for, you know, then you got to go and source it and direct them to where the things are that they're looking for.
Sure. Yeah.
So when they're looking for those high end Jordans and Yeezys, what I end up doing is sending them all to the cities. You know, that's an hour and a half drive.
Yeah. Right.
So I started thinking to myself, you know, what if I had these and, you know, can I turn a profit here?
Yeah.
So what I started doing was, you know, I'd buy used beat up shoes on Facebook Marketplace. Obviously I took plenty of L's on some fake sneakers being on Marketplace and all that good stuff. But, you know, learn the hard way there. I'm sure we'll get into that as well.
Yeah.
But, then I bring those shoes. I take them to the stores in the cities. I trade them for, you know, brand new or nicer condition pairs, and I bring them back, and then I'd start posting them on Snapchat and Instagram. And, you know, having that following from basketball definitely was huge, because then, you know, a lot of my guys that were hoopers or even football players or just anybody would hit me up and want them.
Yeah, yeah.
And
then
so
you became the guy.
Then it just became one of those things where it's like, okay, why am I working at Scheels as a shoe salesman when I can literally be that, but so much more on my own side, not having somebody tell me what to do and just kind of start my own business. So yeah, started it on an underground location that you helped me out with.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure we'll have some
fun. Yeah, definitely learned a lot about that. Obviously, being in an underground situation, you know, you want to get to a place where you can have a location that lots of people can access easily.
Yeah.
And that's why we started looking into the Apache Mall and then doing pop-ups. And that's really when it just exploded to something that I never imagined, you know, would ever be.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's some major ups, some major downs. COVID was one of those things where it was actually a blessing in disguise for us. And it's interesting to say that, but the amount of people that would come in with their stimulus check of like $1,200 and be like, yeah, it's time to buy a nice pair of shoes. We're sitting at home doing nothing. I want to get something, you know, treat myself a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
So that's kind of where it exploded. And then, you know, the Rocky part, there was a bunch of nasty things with, you know, groups and partners and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, we moved around, did a location in Rochester, did a location in Mankato. And then, kind of present day now, we signed a contract with GotSoul. So we exclusively travel to all their major events. And the nice thing is we also are able to go to the sneaker cons as well. So we really target those two businesses that do those events, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And then obviously if there's one local, we'll try and, you know, support local events. There's like an MSX sneaker exchange in Milwaukee that sometimes we'll go to, you know, help boost and promote. Anything that's local in the area, we want to try and help out as well. So, but yeah, now it's just travel, and there's a lot more free time to kind of be a father and be a realtor and all that good stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Well, yeah. So let's segue into that then. So maybe people kind of picked it up a little bit, but basically, you know, you started off, you know, with a physical location, kind of had a few different ones going, Apache Mall, then the Mankato store for a bit. So talk a little bit maybe into the behind the scenes as to why you made the shift you did to having right now no physical location, but obviously still your presence is huge out there. So maybe just talk a little bit about how that kind of progressed and what you learned from being physical, and then maybe kind of follow up with, you know, could that ever be in the cards in the future? Maybe just talk about that component a little bit.
Yeah. So when, I guess we'll start with being in the Apache Mall, that's when it exploded. And it was really an unfortunate thing, because I think to this day, we'd still be there if we could be there.
Yeah.
I think it's a great time to use this platform and actually kind of say what actually happened, because it's been many, many years that I've kind of kept my mouth shut a little bit.
Yep.
So this will be a good clip for the YouTube shorts and the Facebooks and all that good stuff. So essentially what happened was we were obviously competing with Champs at a high level. And it was one of those things where the mall people would come in and say, hey, why are you posting these shoes? Yeah. And it's pretty black and white. Hey, I'm posting them to sell them, right?
Yeah.
And they said, well, Champs doesn't like that, and we need you to stop posting. And so I actually did exactly what they said. But then what Champs did is they went and saw a post from a couple weeks back, and they say, hey, we sell these shoes, and now he's selling them. That's, you know, in their agreement, it's a non-compete clause.
That's at the mall. Yeah.
What I was trying to say to them is, yes, we're selling the same shoes, but our shoes are probably triple the price. So they sell it at retail, and obviously once they sell out, which they sell out in the first 10 minutes being on the sneakers app or a retail store, then it comes to us, and then we have to obviously buy them at resell and then resell them for a profit.
Right.
So
they're still selling all their shoes.
Exactly. They're still making their money and they're doing all that. Yeah. And so it ended up getting so severe that I got a phone call at 6 a.m., woke me and the wife up and said, hey, you have 3 days to get out. And it was a shocker. It was really unfortunate that such a big business would have to go after a little fish that like myself. You know, it's just a one-man show at this point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So there was a lot of frustrations with that. I fought back as best I could.
I mean, obviously that sucks, right? Yep. I mean, getting booted out and, you know. I mean, it's maybe a blessing in disguise, and it's also something to be like, I mean, the impact that you were able to have, like you just said, you know, hey, I'm working at Shield. I started selling shoes on Snapchat.
Sure.
And now you're in Apache Mall making all the, you know, making the big boys sweat with your competition.
Yep.
I mean, that says a lot about what you're doing.
Sure.
And obviously it didn't deter you.
Yeah.
Right? So then, you get kicked out of Apache Mall. Yep. What's the next move after that?
Yeah, so we built a location right next to Chipotle North. So it's still in Rochester. And then what I ended up doing was started doing pop-ups in the Mankato location to kind of see, hey, can we branch this out and really do, you know, a couple stores in a couple different locations. Even La Crosse was in the conversation. I looked into Des Moines and Davenport and all these places in Iowa as well.
Yeah.
Just kind of wanted to branch out and use that money that I made, you know, during COVID and really try and make something happen.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate that once we built it out and started, you know, marketing it and the same team that I had, it really was a pretty quick fall off with them. And so the fact that all those things were happening at once, trying to expand, but in the background, there was just a lot of messiness with the group that I had originally. Sure. It was challenging. And so not only did that, you know, make things a little bit more of a struggle for the Rochester location, because they were all in the Rochester area. You know, they all lived in that area. So when they worked there, it was pretty easy. But when they kind of left on their own terms, then it really was on me to just be there every day.
Yeah.
You know, it was a grind, especially when I had a team that was just coming in from Mankato and I didn't really have to do a whole lot. And they were kind of running the show. I had a general manager, Angel. He's still here to this day. Shout out to Angel. Yep. He's been a day one and he's traveling with us now. So that's such a cool thing that he's still stuck with me.
Yeah.
And he brought a couple of his buddies with, and you know, we haven't looked back since, but so that's why we ended up closing down the Rochester location, because it was so much focused on me being there 24/7 and people that needed shoes delivered. You know, I was doing that on my own, and it just got to the point where it was too much.
Yeah.
You know,
that makes sense.
And so then when we had the Mankato location was doing well, and honestly, it'd still probably be doing fine if I still had it.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where once we signed that contract and we started going to these events and then cutting costs with shipping, that's been the huge thing, that now we can just ship stuff to and from the events instead of having to transport it with U-Haul and gas and hotel and paying drivers and all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you learn a lot about how much money is actually going out versus coming in, especially once you're not in a position that you're making so much money like we were at Apache.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, really just sitting down and figuring out, hey, we can save so much money not paying employees, not paying insurance on a mall location.
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff
just rent itself.
Rent itself is up there, and every single year they're going to bump you up, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
So that's kind of why we stopped with the physical locations is, number one, it's so much more cost efficient.
Yeah.
And number two, I have all the time in the world now to do anything that God wants me to do, right?
Yeah.
You know, obviously be a father, number one, and be a realtor, be a husband, and all that good stuff. So it's really opened up a lot of doors. And to your point of maybe it is a blessing in disguise, there's always this question that pops into my head, not daily, but there's always that question that what if, what would it still look like?
Yeah.
But definitely, there was definitely some learning curves with it, and I think it ended up being okay.
It's totally normal and respectable to, you know, you got to grind, right? Like we on earth as men and as human beings and men and women, whatever, right? We're, you know, you got that, to have that sense of urgency to go out and work is a good thing.
Sure.
But like you said, now you've got a wife, you've got kids, like priorities, I'm sure, have shifted big time.
Yep, 100%.
And like, I think, you know, time's the most valuable currency.
Yep.
You know, it really is. And I, you know, I can definitely relate to that a little bit in my life too. But yeah, so just talk a little bit about kind of your outlook on life. And like you've kind of mentioned a little bit, like having that extra time to be able to focus on your family and things like that.
Yeah.
Just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Time is such a precious thing now, especially, you know, now that we've had my son Roman for 7 months, you know, the start from when he was born to being up 24/7, just being with him, helping the wife, whatever she needs.
Yeah.
It honestly just puts life in a completely different perspective. Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, saying that anything with my business doesn't truly matter. Yes, it does matter to some degree.
Yeah.
But if you ask any of my followers and people that have bought shoes off me, I don't think I've posted a shoe in, you know, months.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'll get back to that. I'm sure probably the next couple of weeks, life is starting to kind of pan out a little bit to where, okay, I can carve out maybe an hour to post a bunch of inventory. And, if it sells, it sells. But I said, it's not one of those things where my main focus is right now my family.
Yeah.
My relationship with God has gotten so much stronger. Just doing men's Bible studies and just diving deeper into his word. That's been huge.
Yeah.
Because once you put that at the center of your life, kind of everything kind of falls in place.
Yeah.
You
know? I'm into that.
So that's been huge for me. And then obviously being able to work with my wife, being a husband wife duo for realty, that's been awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, oh man, I couldn't ever work with my wife. And I could say that's totally far from the truth.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It's so a blessing.
You guys are a good team for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's super cool, man. I mean, you're blessed. I'm happy for you. And yeah, well, I think that's a good opportunity then to talk about. So like you kind of mentioned, you know, Steven has a real estate license, as is his wife, and they're husband wife tandem hitting the real estate business. So kind of when did that start and how did that start?
Okay.
And what's that looking like right now and how are you enjoying that?
Yeah. So she's had her license for, it's probably getting close to 3 years now, and she's done her own transactions and she's been great, since then. And obviously when she was pregnant and then having Roman, she kind of just, it kind of got put to the side a little bit.
Yeah.
As I'm sure many families do, yeah, you know, when yeah. they have their own, it's like all the focus is on him.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out later type deal.
100%.
And so I figured
only a little for so long, man.
Right. And so I figured I get my license. I got in April, and pretty much what we're doing is I'm making all the cold calls. I'm going out there and prospecting, trying to get business. And in fact, we closed on a property in Preston that I cold called 2 days ago. So
nice.
It's definitely starting to turn a profit, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. And she kind of does the behind the scenes stuff with the documents and signatures and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
It's something like I understand the contracts and I could,
yeah.
you know, present it to a buyer or seller, but you know, actually uploading it to the EXP world and all that good stuff. It's kind of like out of my wheelhouse a little bit. Yeah, so that's where we work really well together.
Yeah.
Is that, totally. You know, I can go out and do all those things and she's got her own.
Yeah. She's got your back.
She's got my back and make sure that we're good in the legal terms and all that. So Yeah, it's been awesome. So
that's freaking awesome. So just a little aside, just like talking about work-life balance and all these things. So let me ask you, is he 7 months old?
Yeah.
Roman?
Yep.
And have you guys, you know, done anything as far as like childcare, daycare, anything like that?
No. And that's where
isn't that literally
we're
the best
so
thing
blessed
ever?
to be in that position. And that kind of tails back to closing those locations down, so now I have all the free time in the world.
Yeah.
And it when I say free time, that just goes towards family at the end of the day, right? Yeah. It's definitely not a free time to where you do whatever the heck you want.
Yeah.
But it's a great opportunity to be able to spend time with family on a daily basis.
Yeah, right.
Instead of the alternative of running two locations, you know, being in the business 24/7, having to put him through like a child care or something like that where
yeah.
you only get to spend so much during the morning and so much during the night.
Yeah.
And right. in our scenario, like, heck, we were playing ping pong at noon today. You know what I mean? It's like, it's one of those things where we don't.
That's the dream.
Right there. Yeah. It's we put them down for a nap. We got to spend some quality time. And that's honestly that in itself is such a blessing to not have to be tied up with something always.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I feel like that's just like by definition, that's freedom is what that is.
100%.
You know? It's like, that's the American dream. Like
sure.
you've grinded your way into a reputation. You built a following, you're slinging sneakers, you know, like, and kind of doing all these different side hustles and you're doing it on your terms and on your schedule.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a good thing for a lot of people to hear. You know, I can relate to that as well. Like my wife and I, we've got two kids.
Sure.
Never done any childcare. I've got some insurance business going. I got some real estate business going. Nothing nearly as cool as slinging sneakers. Right.
Yeah.
But I know, like, if I speak for myself, like my main priority is number one, man's got to put food on the table.
Sure.
Right. So you gotta make money. Like it's what I'm not saying is, you know, is don't go work and don't provide. Like you have to do that.
You have to.
But if you can do that in a way that allows you to be present in your family's lives, 100%. I feel like what more could you possibly want?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So, right. And that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know? That's and like, you're going to, you know, and there's going to be grindy times and like, you know, who knows, maybe more kids are coming. I don't know what the Lord has planned for you.
Sure.
But I think just continuing on the path that you're on and like keeping that the priority. I think that's like true wealth right there.
Sure.
In my opinion.
Yeah. And speaking of it being a priority, it's interesting to see, cause we used to do these events, back when we had locations too. And boy, that's a lot of money spent on actual events versus still keeping two stores.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see like the differences in the travel plans. Just once Roman was born, I mean, we'd have a 2 day event in Fort Lauderdale and heck, we would be like, let's just go Wednesday through Wednesday.
Yeah,
you know,
why
make,
not?
Make
yeah.
it a vacation. Yeah. It pays for itself and it puts food on the table. Why not? Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if you take a look, I mean, here's a prime example. We have an event, September 20th in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where we fly out at 6 a.m. on Saturday. We'll get there at, I don't know, probably 8:30 to 8:45. We'll rush right to the event. The inventory will be there ready for us. And then we'll set up. It'll go all the way till 7 p.m. And our flight leaves at 11 p.m. same day.
Yeah.
Just to
business
get,
trip.
Just strictly honestly, business. It's one of the, it's a weird thing to, you know, come home at, I don't know, 2, 3 a.m. or whatever it is. And the wife will be like, you know, how was work? And be like, Seattle's great, you know, just for the day. And,
yeah,
you know, it's like, I'm going to work in this major city for one day.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing, but it's it's one of those things where you start to realize, go do your work and then hustle right back, because you got two people that are waiting for you that are you know,
yeah,
looking to. For obviously the wife needs help with Roman and all that stuff. So,
well, yeah. And I feel like, and this is something that I've heard other people on podcasts, like we're at that phase too, where like the kids are young, you know, you've got a young kid, I've got a 3-year-old and a 5-month-old. And, you know, the idea of focusing everything around them, I think that'll always continue, but at a certain point they're going to get older and like, they're going to be in school and all this, and you're going to have all kinds more time to, you know, like to put into business or whatever else, whatever else you're supposed to be, you know, whatever else you end up deciding to do. So I think like there's wisdom in just recognizing that what's right in front of you is this, like, this is what's right in front of you. You only get them little in the house for so long and like be like moving everything else around that, like everything get out of the way for this.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I said, they're going to grow up, they're going to get older, they're going to go to school, and then who knows what kind of business ventures you'll be taking and then where things will go.
But I got a couple ideas. I definitely think next year I want to kind of bring something back to Rochester, just because
it's
where I was born and raised. And I definitely don't have all the information and definitely not ready to announce anything yet.
Yeah,
but I'm definitely, I got some things in the works that I want to bring back to the city.
Yeah.
And it obviously has everything to do with the shoes, and want to bring that culture back, because ever since I left, I definitely have felt everybody has, like, when I go to a Target or a Walmart, I'll see a past client that's bought shoes and, hey, what the heck is going on? Yeah, like, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely miss the city in a shoe aspect and just being able to provide for the city again.
Yeah,
so definitely in 2026, I'm going to be trying to do something probably in the winter.
You know,
January, February. So definitely look out for that. But
keep an eye out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, things will always present themselves, you know, but I don't know. You've got a good thing going, you know, just cause they're catching my eye right now. Just, we haven't talked about these beautiful looking shoes sitting between us right now. So, so why don't you just tell us what do we got going here?
Sure.
I mean, looks like some diamond encrusted Nikes is what it looks like to me.
So it is, it's a collaboration with Nike and Travis Scott, and it's an SB Dunk. So it's the Travis Scott SB Cactus Flea Market. These are my wife's shoes, and then I got the Trophy Room Jordan 1s on. That's the shoes that we got married in. So I figured I'd bring kind of the two most expensive and the ones that mean the most to us.
Yeah.
And it kind of pairs family and business together, if that makes sense.
Oh, so, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, we got married in them in Marco Island on a beach, and it was, you know, one of the happiest moments of my life. So
yeah. That's beautiful. Yeah. So these ones are not for sale.
Not for sale. Here's the thing though. If you want a pair, I know how to get them.
We can get you hooked up.
Just not that exact pair. So
that's awesome. Talk about the shoe market right now. I mean, what are you seeing?
Yeah.
What are you seeing just as far as like the business details of like what shoes are selling, what's hot, what's not hot, you know, the market as a whole, what are we seeing here?
So interesting that you bring it up, because I actually recently looked at what shoes were selling for in 2020 and what shoes are selling for, you know, present day.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. You know, we were talking about the COVID years a little bit and how people were just spending money like it was nothing, like it was paper, right?
Yeah.
You know, Panda Dunks, I'm sure you can pop them up now. They were selling for upwards of $350 to $380. And now at present day, I could probably get them for $60, $70.
Crazy.
It's one of those things where it actually shocked me. And there's, I'd say 80% of people that were in the shoe business, they have by far left, right?
Yeah.
It's really that 20% that have stuck through it, kind of studied the market, studied where shoes are going as a whole. They're definitely making it. We started doing something called Whatnot. It's live streaming. It's a live stream platform that we put shoes on auction. So we'll take the shoes that we buy at the events, and I'm sure we could pop up a clip. We do coin flips all day long, and that's kind of our bread and butter on YouTube shorts.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Is, you know, we'll coin flip for a whole collection or one pair. And if it's something that meets the Whatnot crowd, which it's usually like a lightly used to heavy used no box shoe, we'll put it up there for 30 seconds. We'll show the camera, we'll show the whole shoe and say, hey, we're gonna start the shoe at $1. And we'll see how much it bids up to. And honestly, it's kind of a scary thing, because they bid up or they bid super low and we have to sell it and ship it to you. We have to honor it. Yeah, you know, that's part of the deal. So obviously buying low, sell low, or buy low, sell high, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But the nice thing about it is I have, you know, 4 to 5 people that are with me that invest their money into this, their inventory as well. Mm-hmm. So when somebody loses, we all lose. When somebody wins, we all win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, it's interesting to see, you know, shoes that have sold for a ridiculous amount way back when, and now they don't go for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's all it is adapting. And I think every businessman, no matter what business they're in, whether it's shoes, real estate, you know, whatever the heck they're doing for business.
Yeah.
It's never going to be the same for more than probably 2 years. It's going to adapt. And that's why you're seeing like these online platforms like Amazon, right?
Yeah.
They're taking off like crazy. And it's because it's online. You can just click a button and it'll be at your doorstep in the next day instead of actually going to a physical location. So
all
it is just studying the market and adapting at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious on this. So like you talk about some of these shoes, you know, were $300, $400, $500+, whatever. They're going for $60, $70 now. Is that something where, like, I mean, is there anything to be said about like holding on to shoes? So there's people out there I know that hold shoes or will buy, like, literally treat it as an investment in the sense of like, you know, whatever. People are buying Jordans or LeBrons or whatever it is, or Kobe's, and saying, you know what, I'm gonna keep these on ice. I'm just gonna like hold them for X years. What do you have to say about that?
I definitely think, especially in like 2021 to 2023, I tell you, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a single shoe out there besides maybe a Travis Scott, which that's what these are. If you buy them for retail, I mean, a Travis Scott Jordan 1 Low is retails for anywhere from 110, 150, and a high 180 to 220. Yeah. I mean, it's going to go for over $1,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting it for retail, you're not going to be able to just buy 10 of them,
right?
And a lot of people do is they'll actually go to StockX and they'll buy a boatload of them and then just sit on them for years. Mm-hmm. I think it's starting to come back, and in fact, I think it was like 3 or 4 days, the Jordan 4, there was a collaboration, I can't remember who it was with, they did a exclusive access, and I actually got it, which was kind of crazy because I haven't had exclusive access from sneakers in like 2 years. I didn't even have the app updated because they just never, I don't know. It's really hard to get access. And if you get a shoe like that right now, it's probably at the lowest it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you buy 40 or 50 of them, maybe you turn $50 per shoe over a course of like a year or two. I think it's starting to come back, especially with the Kobe's and some Jordan 4s.
Definitely risk involved, though.
I mean, you got to know what you're doing.
You got to know what you're doing. You definitely have to know what you're doing. You can't just buy any shoes and hold on to them.
Exactly. Definitely have to spend some time and make sure you know what you're investing into instead of just, okay, so I'm just going to buy 40 of them and see what happens.
So if you're thinking of adding shoes to your portfolio of investments, you know, maybe want to consult with somebody that knows.
100%. 100%. Yes. I'm not really anticipating anything like crazy right now. Obviously any kind of Jordan 4 release, there's a lot that can be made off of a Jordan 4. But in all reality, it's actually quite the opposite. I'm not looking at the drops more so as I'm just looking at the dates for the sneaker events. People do is they'll bring their whole collection. A lot of times they kind of oversay, if that makes sense, on what their situation is can't make the house payment this month.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm strapped for cash and we need it. And it's not one of those things where you like crazily take advantage of it, but if they need it and somebody else isn't willing to pay that amount that they're looking for, we kind of swoop in and have the ability to buy so much, whether it's brand new or used, to where we don't even have to look at release.
Right, you know, so you're kind of going into the events and reading the field there.
Yeah, I mean, last event isn't even there, and this is where we talked about the time again, is I can send the team to, they went to Boston, and I don't even have to be a part of it, and they came back with 88 pairs of shoes. And it's like, it's such a blessing that they are able to go and do that.
Yeah.
And it's on the flip side, it's such a blessing where we don't have to look at those drops to get inventory. There's other outlets that are much more lucrative.
And what was the name? What's the event that you signed the deal with?
It's going to be Got Soul. And what they kind of do is they go towards more your celebrities will come through. There was, you know, Malik Nabers was in New York. Big X the Plug was in Texas. Just a bunch of rappers and high profile people come through and they'll just spend an absolute bag with somebody.
Yeah.
We actually, oh man, I can't remember who it was. There's a guy that does food reviews and he used to be a boxer. He's got like 1. Something million on Instagram. Keith Lee. There it is. Keith Lee. Yeah.
Keith Lee.
Shout out Keith. Right. He bought some Jordan 11s. So yeah, we got to be a part of their little, their crowd came by and bought a couple pairs of shoes. And it's just cool to see celebrities like that.
So you're bringing stock to these.
Oh, 100%.
So you're bringing like everything, everything you got or a lot of what you got.
Yeah.
And then you're looking to just kind of play the field as far as is, you know, sometimes you're selling, sometimes you're buying. So you're always doing some buying and stuff.
Always
just
doing something. It's one of those. Yeah, we'll bring absolutely everything there. It's right now we're up to like 19 boxes of, you know, the extra large UPS boxes. So it's getting a little out of hand to where maybe we need to kind of pick and choose what we actually bring. And that's why I'm going to start posting again and kind of open the floodgates a little bit.
Okay. Well, I think that's good just for like for people watching, because even I was just thinking, visualizing how that would work. So like, you're slinging shoes, you don't have a physical location. How does that work? Okay, well, people are buying online or whatever, but it's these events where it's at. So you take your whole, you take your inventory to these events and you're buying and selling there. So it's the moving marketplace basically.
Exactly.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah.
A lot of people are bringing, it's either families are coming through and they're getting ready to shop for Christmas or birthdays, or sometimes they just come and just to look at all, I mean, there's millions of shoes at these conventions. Yeah. And sometimes one will catch their eye and we'll get lucky and we'll sell it to them. But most of the time they're either coming there for something specific. They're looking to sell their inventory. Maybe they're looking to sell what they usually wear to get a new pair. But we pretty much buy just as many pairs as we sell. And it just kind of, it's always ebb
and flow. First come, first serve is the right word, but is it kind of like whoever they run into, there's no like, are they putting their collection up for like an auction kind of thing, or like they just come to your stand?
Yeah.
Hey, here's what I got for you. How does that work? Yeah. How does like the flow of the events work?
So you can get VIP access to where you can get in an hour before regular people can come in, if that makes sense. So they can start coming in at 11 o'clock. This is why we signed with Gotsoul and we like Gotsoul, is because we have a banner behind us that just screams, we buy all shoes.
Yeah.
Right. And then it also draws people to our table or in our booth so they can buy shoes as well.
Yeah.
But we are always competing with somebody.
Yeah.
And it's nice that there are people that do exactly what we do, but don't sign a contract. And so they don't have the ability to have that banner behind them.
Okay. Sure.
And so we're definitely one of the probably top two to top three vendors that people come to.
Sure.
So if they're going with our competition, it's fine, because there's probably a line of 25 people that are still selling to us.
Yeah, so there's enough to go around. Yeah.
So there's never been a situation where it's, you know, no harm, no foul. If you need to go to the competition and see what they offer. It's funny. Sometimes what we'll do is, hey, if you walk now, this is your quote. Say one shoe, we're paying $120. If you go walk and ask our competition what they would pay for it, now your offer is $80.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So 100%. It's kind of just some fun things that we can do with some people. And like I said, the coin flips, it's, you know, the kids especially, oh my gosh, they love that. Sometimes the kid will bring me a beat up shoe that maybe I pay $40 for, and he'll be like, let's just do free or 80. And the amount of times that we've got shoes for free, it's actually kind of mind-boggling. I mean, every event, we probably come home with 5 to 10 pairs absolutely free.
That you did a flip for and got free.
Exactly. So either we flip them or we'll put them on Whatnot and do a giveaway. But the events, it's such a fun time.
Yeah,
so
that sounds sweet.
Yeah.
Are you guys, with not having like retail location, do you guys still do, I know for a bit you were like doing some clothes and things like that. Like, are you guys still kind of doing that a little bit?
It's a sad thing to say. When we started selling clothes, I found out it took a couple of months, but I found out there's a lot of sketchy stuff going on in the clothing world to where I just didn't want to touch it anymore.
Sure.
And it's something that I want everybody to be aware of, is these brands like Spider and Denim Tier and just, you know, high end brands. It's sad to say there's a lot of these people that actually make them for Denim Tier and Spider, they're also producing them for backdooring. And so what that means is, it's essentially the term called one-to-one, to where they're absolutely identical, but it's not truly an authentic piece. So when you buy off a StockX, when you buy off a goat, it's probably a 70-30 chance that you're getting a real item.
Interesting.
When it comes to clothing.
And now, you would maybe not even know because it is
exactly
the same.
It's the exact same thing. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Interesting. So it hurts the brands more than anything, right? I mean,
it does, but it doesn't because people are still repping that brand. And it draws people to their website because obviously it's just like shoes when they drop.
So who's selling the fake ones? So like they're backdooring them to just
anybody
company that just brands them as
the real anybody. Thing. Yeah, they're selling them to anybody. And the fact that people are now starting to actually make them themselves to the exact fabric, the exact tags, the exact even like the lettering on the tags. It's one of those things where you. The stickers that go on the bags, right? If it's all identical and people are bringing them to us, I don't know if I'm buying a real or not item, right?
Yeah.
And so then I can't feel confident in selling them to my clientele. Yeah, for sure. You know what I mean? So it's a sad thing because we used to really dive deep into the clothing. And then when I found that out, and I found it out at the events because there's these vendors that were selling these clothes and they were selling it for under retail. That was one of the giveaways. I was like, how is everybody able to sell this for such a cheap, deal and actually make money? And then I really started looking deep. I'm like, this, it just ain't right.
Yeah.
You know, and me being somebody, I fear God, right? If I'm not doing something that is totally, on the straight and narrow path.
Yeah.
I just did not feel right moving forward with clothing. And that's why we only sell shoes.
With the main moral problem being like, hey, I'm saying this is this brand and it might not be.
And you just don't know at this point. Sure. It is one of those things where I don't know how anybody in the shoe space can confidently say, yes, this is real.
Yeah.
It's to that point and it's a sad reality.
More so.
It's easy.
Easier with easy. Shoes. Like people that know shoes, know shoes. Like that's, you can't rip those off. It's easy.
And for doing it for 5 to 6 years, I mean, it's one of those things where, and this is where I get a little nervous and this is why, my investors, they don't spend my money is because they're probably on year 2 or 3 and I'm on like year 6 of doing this. So I've got doubly experience and believe me, I've taken my L's and learned the lesson the hard way, but kids will bring me the shoes that they don't even know are fake. And I'll take one look at it and be like, next, it's just not. And some people will try and take advantage of you at these events. And it happens a lot more than you think. And if you're not on your game, you'll get got and you'll be spending money where it's going towards the trash at that point. I mean, a fake shoe is a fake shoe. You're not going to do nothing.
Right. So, and people that know, people in the shoe world know, like the last thing you want is a fake shoe.
100%. Yep.
Steve, if you had one thing you could tell someone in your shoes, let's say 5 years ago, kind of got the entrepreneurial mindset and into business, whether it's shoes or anything else, what's like one piece of advice you would give those people?
Might be a little bit of a hot take, but in my opinion, I would say do not go the college route. And it probably will, some people will not like hearing this, but the only reason why I went to college in the first place was basketball. Mm-hmm. And funny story, when it comes to college is I was obviously just starting my business at the time and probably about half a year to a year in where, maybe we do like 5,000 in sales a month, right? Mm-hmm. To where it's doing all right, but it's not, you can't live off of that in sales.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
one of the classes, cause I was studying business was start your own business. Right. And kind of document it. And that's how you get graded. And I'm like, I can't start a fake business when I'm literally in the process of doing my own business now.
Right.
And I just like, I was talking to my parents when I was like, dude, this is such a waste of time.
Yeah,
I'm literally real life doing
start
it.
Start a fake business when I have a real business to work on.
And so what I would tell anyone in their young 20s to late teens that wants to go into the business space is number one, probably, ditch college at that point. I mean, a lot of college is just the experience and you're not getting real life, real business experience. Go and do it. And number two, I would say, if you're in a position to where you need a business loan to take the next step, just make sure you're really studying exactly what that means, right? I kind of went off the deep end a little bit and like, I need X amount of money for inventory for building out these locations. Heck, even the lawyer and attorney fees from when we had that lawsuit stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that money goes quick. And what I would just say is really sit down, really have that conversation with, you know, a financial advisor or somebody that you trust to make sure it's the right decision. Because once you go in debt, you could be making so much money, but in reality, you're not making much until you pay that back off.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's kind of the two things that I would say is, yeah, college, don't eat it. Yeah. And if you're ever in a position to take out a loan, just make sure you know what you're doing.
Yeah, so, well, that's good advice, honestly. Yeah. And I would say, like, not that people care what I think anyway, but like on the college perspective, I do think it's like, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, a lot of people go for the experience. I think people kind of think it's just like the thing to do.
Yeah.
And 100%. I do think that, like, there are certainly things that you need to go to college for. It just depends on what you want to do. Like, I think to your point, and this is maybe to clarify, and maybe if you disagree, tell me, but you know, like, what I think what you're saying is if you're an entrepreneur, you want to get into business, save yourself the debt and the money of doing it.
Sure.
You know, it's different. I mean, if you want to be an engineer, you
go to school. 100%. Or a doctor. Yeah. Right?
You know, there's things you got to go to school for, obviously. But I would agree with that, honestly. So I went to college. I was an economics major. I also went for sports. That's why, granted, I wasn't ever considering not going to college. It just was what I was going to do. But I went to play football and, you know, whatever. And in the businesses that I've been now as an adult, I've been in real estate and been in the insurance business. There are two things that, like, that I've gotten into through the connections I've made.
Sure.
And I would 100% agree that, you know, there wasn't really anything that I learned from college that 100%. Really made me any better off in those businesses. If anything, right. If I'd have started 4 years earlier into the businesses I'm in now, I, you know, who knows, but, so no, I think that's a good point of advice. I think for people to just not feel like they need to fit into the box of doing it just because it's kind of like what everyone does.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Well, shoot, even if you're starting your own business and you don't need to take out a loan or need any type of financial assistance, you're kind of starting from scratch, right?
Yeah.
If you're wanting to start a business and you go through 4 years of college, you're already, I don't know how much money. Yeah. I don't even want to know how much it costs.
Yeah.
To do college, what, 15, right?
20 grand. You'd have a year. Low end.
Yeah.
You know, a year.
You're already so much.
80 to 100 grand in debt.
Yeah, yeah. You're already paying off student loans to where, how are you even supposed to start a business at that point?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's definitely. And yet, if you need to be a doctor or something like that, 100% go to college.
But yeah.
Anything in the business world or entrepreneur, even real estate, I don't think, to be honest, don't need college. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's connections, and it's just, it's right now a real world experience.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd agree with that totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, Steve, you have any last thoughts for everyone?
Oh, honestly, I appreciate you inviting me on the set here. It's a dope setup, and it was fun to be able to kind of share my life experience, and just looking forward to the future, and maybe a couple years down the road, we'll revisit and see where things are at. So.
Dude, heck yeah, man. Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for watching, everyone.